person says the Dharma got dumb. Hellfire and brimstone, swap for oil and guns. When we're pushing up daisies, we all look the same. In the name of the Father, maybe, but not in my name. On this Jacob's ladder, the only way up is down. One step from disaster, two to make the higher ground. Jacob's ladder.
To great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice, I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program starts out with what happened at Dos Eres. In 1982, the Guatemalan military massacred the villagers of Dos Eres, killing more than 200 people. This is the true story of Oscar Alfredo Ramirez Casanada and the genocide in Guatemala. By the way, Guatemala is a mainly mountainous country in Central America. For background, civil war existed in Guatemala since the early 1960s, due in part to inequalities existing in the economic and political life. In the 1970s, the Mayans began participating in protests against the repressive government, demanding greater equality and inclusion of the Mayan language and culture. In the 1980s, the Guatemalan army instituted Operation Sophia, which aimed at ending insurgent guerrilla warfare. This program specifically targeted the Mayan population, who were believed by the Guatemalan army to be supporting the guerrilla movement. For the next 3 years, the army destroyed 626 villages, killed or disappeared more than 200,000 people, and displaced an additional 1.5 million, while more than 150,000 were driven to seek refuge in Mexico.
Oscar was 31, working two jobs, with three little kids and a fourth on the way. His living room in Framingham, Massachusetts, a Boston suburb, was covered with toys, and in the kitchen in a corner were some trophies that he won as a bullfighter as a teenager back in Guatemala, where he grew up. He'd been in the United States since he was 19, a dozen years. And then he got a strange phone call. A woman from the public prosecutor's office back in Guatemala was looking for him. Now, he was in the United States illegally, and he worried, could it be about that somehow? And then he spoke with this woman. Her name was Sarah Romero, and it had nothing to do with that. It was way stranger. She had been looking into a massacre that had happened back in the early 1980s out in the countryside in a tiny town during Guatemala's civil war. And she believed Oscar was one of the survivors.
I was like confused. I didn't know what she was talking about. But she said, I know you don't know much about it, or you probably don't know anything about it. Because I was quiet. I was just listening to what she's saying.
Clearly, they have the wrong person, Oscar thought. He'd never been to the little town where this massacre happened. He grew up far away from there. He didn't have any questions about his past. In fact, he had a pretty idyllic childhood. Yes, his mom had died when he was a baby. Yes, his dad was killed in a truck accident when he was 4. But his dad's mom, his grandmother, raised him comfortably. He felt loved. What Sarah told Oscar was this. The massacre that she was investigating happened in 1982, when Oscar was 3, at a village called Dos Eres. More than 200 people were killed there. Sarah had spoken to several soldiers who were at the massacre, and they told her that 2 boys had been spared. One of the boys, the soldier said, was taken by a lieutenant named Oscar Ramirez Ramos. That was Oscar's dad. If Sarah's suspicions were right, the man that Oscar thought was his father, the man he had looked up to his entire life, had stolen him from his biological family. His unit killed them and their entire village, Dos Eres. Though, Sarah says, when she first contacted Oscar,
I told him about the 2 boys without getting into any specifics about the participation of his dad, so as not to hurt his feelings. But I let him know that he could be one of the surviving boys.
Well, today on our radio show, we have investigators trying to solve an unsolved murder of more than 200 people from the 1980s in a case that could potentially nudge the political climate of their entire country. And finally, hold military officials responsible for massacres that happened there. Just this week, the former president of the country was indicted for genocide in this case. And at the center of the whole thing is a guy, Oscar Ramirez, who discovers that everything he thought about his past, his dad, who he really is all a lie. Oscar's DNA, the DNA of this guy in some Boston suburb, becomes the final piece of evidence in this case. The idea is that if they could just prove with his DNA that he was stolen from Dos Eres, they could link the lieutenant who raised him and his unit to this massacre. For the very first time, they might bring high-level soldiers and officers to justice for one of these massacres, which had never been done in Guatemala. From WBEZ Chicago, it's This American Life, distributed by Public Radio International. I'm Ira Glass. Our program today is a co-production with ProPublica and the Fundación MEPI in Mexico City. It has taken months to report and research. It is truly an amazing, heartbreaking tale that takes us deep inside some experiences that I think we all see headlines about that can often seem very far away and hard to imagine the reality of, that, as you'll hear, are not far away at all. We're devoting our entire program to it. Stay with us. Okay, before we dive into the story, just a quick history review. Now, I myself was the kind of insufferable, politically correct person who was obsessed with Latin America back in the 1980s. I called Nicaragua, and actually went to Nicaragua for a month during the 5th anniversary of the Sandinista Revolution. I traveled in Guatemala during the Civil War. You, however, might be what we call a normal person and didn't do any of that. So to provide some context, I turned to Kate Doyle, who's testified as an expert witness in the trials of human rights abuses by senior military officials in Guatemala. She's a senior analyst at a watchdog group in Washington, D.C. called the National Security Archive.
The violence in Guatemala made the country an outlier because you don't have anything on the scale of what happened in that country in places like Peru or Argentina or Chile.
It's funny when you talk about this, I picture, okay, somewhere in the back of your mind, there's a list of like a ranking of the most effed up countries in the region.
Right.
And is Guatemala number one?
Guatemala's way up there.
Give me the rankings. Okay, so number one effed up is?
Honduras probably right now.
Honduras.
Honduras is bad.
Okay, and then number two?
Guatemala's pretty bad.
Pretty bad going back decades. Starting in the 1960s, small guerrilla groups challenged what was a corrupt and repressive government. There was also a broader movement calling for political rights, land reform, workers' rights. This all was met with brutal violence. Reformers were assassinated. Civilian populations in the countryside were accused of harboring guerrillas and exterminated in the name of anti-communism. This violence peaked in the 1980s.
These were essentially scorched earth operations. Soldiers would sweep through targeted areas. They were using plans drafted by the Army High Command, and they would essentially kill everything in sight.
She says that what's amazing is the pattern. You see the same techniques again and again. A warning, this description gets violent. A patrol would enter the community, usually on market day when everybody was gathered.
And they would immediately separate out the men from the women and children, and they would put them into some of the village's biggest buildings, like the school or the church. And then the soldiers would proceed to destroy everything. They would burn the fields where the villagers grew their food. They would slaughter the animals. They would destroy the houses. They would burn them to the ground. They would bring the men then out and execute them. They would then take the women and the children. They would rape most of the girl children and the women, and then they would kill them.
This happened in over 600 villages, tens of thousands of people. A truth commission found that the number of Guatemalans killed or disappeared by their own government was over 180,000. And unlike many other Latin American countries, none of the soldiers and leaders who did all this were held accountable.
Many of them transitioned into civilian government. Most of them continued to be very notable, very prominent figures in Guatemalan society.
For years, the government denied the massacres happened at all. Even after a peace treaty with the rebels in 1996, a truth commission was set up but told specifically not to name names, not to gather evidence for trials. No soldier or military leader was brought to justice for the massacres. Until Dos Heres and the investigation into what happened there. Several people were involved in reporting the story that you're about to hear. There's Sebastian Rotella and Ana Arana. There's our producer, Brian Reed, and Habiba Nosheen. Sometimes you're going to hear Brian in the tape. Habiba narrates the story. Here she is.
When investigators started looking into the Dos Heres massacre in the 90s, people trying to uncover the truth about that sort of thing were being killed. Like an anthropologist, Myrna Mack, who was trying to expose the details of the military's scorched earth campaign and then was stabbed 27 times by a member of the president's intelligence team. Or, like in 1998, when a Catholic bishop headed a truth commission that concluded that the military was behind the vast majority of the atrocities during the Civil War. Just 2 days after the report came out, he was found bludgeoned to death with a concrete block in his garage. But none of this stopped a woman named Aura Elena Farfan when she first started looking into rumors of a secret grave at a place called Dos Heres. Aura looks like someone's grandmother. She's 72 years old with short graying hair. In 1984, a member of her family was disappeared. Aura suspected the military was behind it, so she and her brother started looking into what happened. 2 months later, her brother vanished too. So Aura started an organization to investigate and bring these kinds of cases to justice. And that's how she came across the massacre of Dos Heres.
He said, "Son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could just carry this gun? You'll even get paid." I said, "That sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shine so bright, they cut off my hair, but it looks alright. We marched and we sang, we all became friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love and a flag that I trust." I kicked in the door, I yelled my commands. The children, they cried, but I got my man. We took him away, a bag over his face, from his family and his friends. They took off his clothes, they pissed in his hands. I told them to stop, but then I joined in. We beat him with guns and batons, not just once, but again and again. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag that I love She walked through bullets and haze. I asked her to stop. I begged her to stay. But she pressed on. So I lifted my gun and I fired away. And the shells jumped through the smoke and into the sand that the blood now had soaked. She collapsed with a flag in her hand, a flag white as snow. A hero won. Is that what they see? Just medals and scars. So damn proud of me. And I brought home that flag. Now it gathers dust, but it's a flag that I love. It's the only flag I trust. He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say if I said that you could?
And now, back to what happened at Dos Eres and the true story of Oscar and the genocide in Guatemala.
Nosotros en principio del 94,
at the beginning of 1994, we received reports of bones being found just on the surface of the earth. And in addition, there were reports of a well.
The well, Aura heard, had bodies inside of it. It was in the jungle, located in what used to be the village of Dos Eres. In 1982, Dos Eres disappeared. One day, the residents were there. The next day, they were nowhere to be found. When Aura heard about the bones, she put together a team of forensic anthropologists. She told my producer, Brian Reed, and me, they trekked 7.5 miles into the jungle.
Bueno, muy desolado, no era... monte.
It was desolation. Overgrown weeds, trees, bushes would cover us. We couldn't see each other. And because we couldn't see each other, just by whistling or yelling, we would call on each other.
Do you remember the moment that you saw the well?
I remember it. It was like sunk. It sank 1 meter or maybe more. It was 3 meters below, and then this tree was growing in the well.
They began digging 1 meter, 2 meters, 3 meters, nothing. Day after day, they went back to the well. They invited the local public prosecutor. He came by, looked into the well, told them they wouldn't find anything there but dog bones. Finally, they hit 4 meters. A warning that the next minute or so gets very graphic and probably isn't suitable if you're listening with small children.
We were able to see the shirt of a small boy, the bones inside, and that made us think that all the inhabitants of Dos Eres were there.
So they kept digging, and they found more and more bones, more and more bodies, more and more clothing. They dug up shirts, shoes, hairpins, heart-shaped earrings, boots with silver spurs. In a video they shot at the time, one of the anthropologists stands at the bottom of the well. It's about 40 feet deep. She looks exhausted. There's a tiny skeleton at her feet.
Sobre todo, bueno, en este caso, solamente pensar que fueron arrojadas desde esta altura a un pozo.
Just to think that they were thrown from that height into the well, she says. It's hard to even imagine it. It's hard to convince yourself of these things. At the end of it all, they found at least 162 bodies, plus lots of incomplete remains. 67 of the bodies were victims under 12 years old. Their average age was 7. Aura and her team wanted to identify these bodies, so they took the remains to the center of the nearest town. They put them together as best they could into skeletons and laid them out. Alongside, they placed the clothing they found in the well next to the body they thought each piece belonged to. Then they put out an invitation for the community to come and look. There's video of this. All the bones and clothing spread out on a concrete floor. People filed by, taking it all in. Some of them recognized clothing worn by their relatives and friends from Dos Eres. But only 10 people came forward to specifically identify relatives. Most were still afraid to admit they knew anyone who had disappeared from Dos Eres. People still remembered how in 1982, right after the village vanished, family members went to the army commander in the nearest town and asked what happened. This commander, Lieutenant Carlos Antonio Carias, said the guerrillas were responsible. the guerrillas had killed or taken everyone. But he also told family members that if they talked about the incident, even asked about it, they would die. Which just reinforced people's suspicions that the army was probably behind it. So Aura put herself out there even more to try to get people to talk. She appeared on local media in the province they were in, Petén.
Aprovechamos cada vez que íbamos al Petén para hablar por la radio.
Each time that we visited El Petén, we took advantage of that moment to speak on the radio, to speak on the TV, to ask people that whomever knew something about Dos R's to come forward.
Why were you chuckling just then?
Bueno, porque a veces pienso de que fui muy atrevida.
Because sometimes I think that I was too daring.
La vida en de los guatemaltecos no vale nada.
The life of Guatemalans doesn't cost a thing. It's not worth a thing. And just anything could have happened to us.
Aura was worried about how members of the military might react when they heard her announcements. But she never expected the reaction she got from this guy.
Pues fue una decisión que yo hice.
I heard this and I looked at my little children playing and I decided I'd do this so the same thing would not happen to them as happened to the children in the massacre at Dos R's.
Fabio Pinzon Jerez is a former sergeant in the military, and after hearing Aura on the radio, he got on a bus and took the 12-hour ride to Guatemala City. He walked into the UN office and told him he knew what had happened at Dos R's because he had taken part in it. He did something no other soldier had ever done in Guatemala. He confessed.
To do my job. In the reservoir.
Oh, when did it get too hot?
Important issue over time, and if we don't do something about it in the next 10 years, it might be too late.
Not much left
in the reservoir.
In the post. polar seas.
Oh, why did it get too hot?
The grid went down. Fork is to play.
Now, messages from Access Sacramento.